Welcome to another episode of the Beach Court Podcast, where Mew strikes again. We talk about that this week on this episode in Lille Regionals in France, or France, or French, or France. I'm not sure how they want to pronounce it, but France sounds good.
Great. All of our French listeners just turned out.
Yeah. They all just left. They left the video.
They said, we're going to go somewhere else.
Yes.
They all left the video. We'll discuss the Lille Regionals in France. And talk about our meta predictions in Toronto, Canada this weekend. And we'll also have our gym leader versus youngster challenge, where our gym leader has some work to do. Lastly, we'll take you through some new decks from Paradox Rift. We're all very excited. That set came out this weekend for pre-releases. Some of us got to go some of us had to work some. And as always, I'm joined by Max Corcoran and Parker Greenwald. Gentlemen, how you doing? How's your weekend been?
Been pretty good. I actually just got home late off work. I just ran my first VGC Premier Challenge at the shop. Went pretty well, but definitely super fun to watch a bunch of new faces.
Nice. What's it like putting on something like that? You don't have to put up equipment. It's just they just bring their own video games and play.
Yeah, so I put out a couple like power strips and basically if you need to like charge your Switch during your in-between rounds, there's like an area for it, kind of. That's how we had it today. But other than no double prize penalties or anything. It's all everything is done inside the game, so it was incredibly easy to run. I basically just patched out match slips and was it.
What happens if there's like a technology issue, like during a match, or like a Switch dies during a match?
There's a bunch of different rule sets. It comes down to like Pokemon remaining, that kind of thing. Like there's a big section in the rule book where it's like, you know, like if it's 4-4, like you just restart the game. But if it's like 4-3 or 4-2 or 3-2, then like something happens. And then if it's like 4-1, then like it's a match or a game win for like the person with 4 Pokemon. And like it's like a whole thing. But
wow.
Happens a lot less now that it's on the Switch instead of 3DS.
Oh, really? Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, like back in my day, it's like when you're just playing your friends on GameCube and someone's like beating the other in a race, you just go turn off the consoles. Like, oh, guess we never know who would won.
Oh, dang. It was so close. It's neck and
next
neck.
Time I'll learn to throw the rule book at them. It's like, well, I was ahead at the end of the third lap. Which...
you just like unplug the Switch. Yeah, exactly. Now we got batteries and everything. Maddox, how about you? What's been going on with you this weekend?
So this past weekend I did go to a League Cup. It was down in Maitland, Florida, so right outside of Orlando. And you know, really I've only played in like I think 5 cups this season. 2 of them were at like Pittsburgh and Peoria. So I'm like, okay, you know, pretty massive 120 person cups. It'll be nice to go to Maitland where it's not going to be as big. And it was 93 people. So it's like, okay, this doesn't even feel that much smaller. You know, it's a cup that we all went to last quarter. Got top 16 that time. But this time, actually managed to make top 8 and end up, you know, 3rd or 4th place. I didn't see the final standings, but in top 4 overall. It's tough. I mean, just the fact that you were playing against so many quality Orlando players, and I hit so many people that I knew either from Orlando or people that we came with. So kind of unfortunate there, but nice to be able to go to a, you know, 93 person cup and say, hey, I got top 4. Like, you know, had to beat some pretty quality opponents. I played against Charlie Kerr right after his top 8 in Sacramento. So I was like, all right, here we go again, Charlie. So had a close match there. But I mean, overall, it was just a nice time to be able to go down there, see everyone, and nice to bring a few points back up to Jacksonville.
Yeah, definitely. Well, congratulations on your finish. What were you playing?
I was playing Maridon. I wanted to, you know, for best of 1, like I was playing for, actually, I guess the last cup that I won, played Maridon. I really just wanted a deck that I'm going to play 95% of the time and, you know, doesn't, you know, there are some matchups where you're a little unfavored, but just in a best of 1 format, we're able to say, I'm going to be able to play so much. And I was definitely looking to be favored into Lugia and any Arc decks since last time we played there was a lot of Arceus. Really wasn't the case this time, but still managed to get enough wins to make top cut. That was exciting.
Well, congratulations again. Yeah, that's awesome. Maridon's a fun deck. So yeah. Good to see you playing something else besides Mew, even though Mew keeps winning.
Go ahead. I mean, sorry, you tell me that all the time, and it says, oh, let's stop playing some Mew, and then now Mew goes and wins Lily, and maybe I should have just stayed on it.
It's like Mew's always a good play, huh? Well, I played in some pre-releases this weekend. Thankfully, Mew wasn't legal in those. But when people pulled Iron Hands, you weren't having a good time in pre-release as they had it on their bench, attaching every turn, just waiting to take two prizes over the course of two more turns and win the game. People also played Sandy Shocks, which if you don't know what Sandy Shocks does, it has an ability that says when you have four or less prizes, you can accelerate in fighting from the discard pile to that Pokemon. In pre-release, you start with four prizes.
Start of the game.
So, like, start of the game, my opponent goes Ultra Ball away, double fighting, Sandy Shocks. Turn two, attacking with an EX. I'm like, all right, cool.
I bet it's like that's like the only Ultra Ball in their deck too, probably, right? Yeah. Like, you know, you only get like one. I mean, maybe if you pulled an Earthen Vessel, you're in better shape. But like Ultra Ball away, it's like, all right, now you're just trolling me. You got like one Ultra Ball. You got one rare candy. I played with two items. One of them was Snorlax doll. Like I had nothing to work with.
Yeah, and you know the other item was rare candy. You know what you did versus me? You rare candied into the EX and blasted me away every turn.
And yeah, rare candy, Aegislash EX, 220, second turn of the game.
See ya. Yeah, 220, no drawback, by the way. Just straight 220. And I'm
no, like you take like 20 damage or 30 damage.
Yeah, in that format, doesn't matter about the 20. I'm over here like attacking with Chiyu and not knocking you out and like things. And I'm like, what the heck, man? Anyways, yeah, that was a lot of fun. But let's talk about Lil. Look at the top 8 decks. We have 8 different decks. This meta is insane. Every single deck is different. You have 2 Mews, but you got 1 Fusion Mew, 1 DTE Mew, and everything else is different. You got Lost Kudra, you got Lost Tina, and Lost Turbo. So some engines are kind of the same, as you see, but all the decks are different here. This is just a triangle format, and it's a matchup-dependent format, right? That's where we are. Is that where we settled?
Yeah, for somewhat like triangle in a way, sure. Triangle in, you know, not a way, more like a octagon in some ways, but yeah. All the decks they're the Lost Zone decks, you know, pretty much same game plan, however you get to it different ways. But it's definitely diverse.
I mean, yeah, it feels like that Nonagon or Decagon, just like so many different decks. It says, oh, you're playing Rapid Strike, you'll beat, you know, Lost Box and Guardi. But if you're like, I mean, or like, unless you don't, and then you're playing these decks, like, I mean, it's really just, I think a lot of these players, you know, it's really knowing their deck well, right? You know, Consta has been playing Fusion Mew forever, and a quality player, right? Top 16 at Worlds with it. You know, says, hey, I really know my deck. And even if I'm in a bad matchup, I'm going to, you know, play my best through it. And, you know, had a good run and was able to close it out.
Yeah, I mean, we look at the finishes, and the thing shocks me the most is Lost Kudra in 7. Went 10-3-3, looking at its matchups. Didn't, like, roll over a bunch of Lost Box. He played 3 Lost Kudras in day 1. Or sorry, Lost Tinas in day 1. And went 1-0-2 versus them. Mm-hmm. I guess that's day 1. 1-0-1.
Good tie, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, like Lost Tina, he tied against 2 of them. Yeah. Like, and beat 1 of them. So he went 1-0-2 against Lost Tina's. Yeah, so like, why is it that Gudra did well? Is it just the deck that can set up and just smack for 200 every turn and take a hit and move on?
Yeah, I think if you don't see a lot of, you know, like Lost Tina, which would be its worst matchup.
And Chen Pao, I think, right?
Yeah, Chen Pao too, I guess. I think those would be his worst 2 matchups. And, you know, like, he managed to tie and win against all his Lost Tina matchups. Deck's pretty solid, though. I think has maybe a slight favorable matchup into, like, the Turbo Lost Box decks, as well as having a pretty good matchup into, like, Charizard, actually.
Yeah.
And the Lugia decks without Tyranitar. You can't really hit super, super hard. So you're like 3 or 4 shotting this Gudra that just uses V-Star and heals.
Yeah.
Yeah, guess how many Chen Pals you played against?
Right now, and I see 0.
Absolutely 0. Wild. Absolutely wild. So So you take a we keep taking a look down the results here. We've got some Mew. We have a single strike Lugia. We got an Arcturus. We got to scroll all the way down to 35th until you see the first Maridon. Why do you think that is?
American deck.
Yeah. I mean, I think what the most popular deck over there was Gardy, right? And maybe Gardy, that's
yeah.
why.
And, yeah, Maridon's not favorite in a Gardevoir, typically.
Yeah. So how do you guys think Lil Regionals impacts the Toronto meta?
It's really hard to say. I'm going to be kind of bold and say it almost really doesn't change anything.
Bold statement.
People know what decks are good. They play what they want to play, basically.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that sentiment. I mean, I think a lot of people here will still be considering Sacramento and Peoria a lot. People saying, hey, Colorless Lugia is a good deck. I have all the cards for it. You know, it's fun to play, some will say, if you can get set up, right? So I think that, you know, it will impact it, right? You know, I think definitely seeing, I think it'll stay similar, but I do think that with Fusion Mew winning, that some people that have been scared to play Mew, and are again seeing, hey, there hasn't been a lot of Charizard around, you know, there's too much Spirit Tomb around for me to play DTE Mew. Oh, hey, look, Fusion Mew won. Hey, maybe I sleeve it up again for old time's sake. It's definitely crossed my mind, and I'm sure it's crossing the mind of others that are going to Toronto and would just say, hey, Mew's fun to play. Fusion Mew can take a knockout turn one going second, and sometimes it can just outpace your opponent. So I think we'll maybe see, you know, I'd be curious to see if there's a little increase in Mew for Toronto.
Do you guys think that anything changes on the day one meta graphic? Let's just say from, you know, Peoria to Toronto.
I think we probably see Lugia's number one. So they kind of found out a build that can beat the Charizard deck.
Yeah.
And that's like, you just throw Snorlaxes and Luxray at your opponent. I kind of think, like, this isn't really based off anything, but I think Gardy creeps up a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it does. Like, but I think the average players are scared of Charizard when they play it. However, the good players know that it's a very winnable matchup. So I think, you know, the absence of Zard here might, you know, bring some life back into, like, the Gardevoir players here.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, even with that Zard comment, right? You know, if, you know, Zard hasn't really been shown up in the way that we expected it, right? You know, we've had, you know, Peoria had a strong showing in top 16, but we still haven't seen that top 8 finish in North America. I'm curious if that is, you know, deterring players from going to it, saying, hey, let me go back to some decks, you know, from previous formats that I know a little better and are more staples, or if it's saying, hey, let me double down on the Charizard and get it its first finish.
Right. Yeah. Do you think it makes top 8 here? What do you guys think?
I think maybe we see one in top 8. The only thing about Charizard that I'm not the biggest fan of is, like, you really all you do is, like, attack with Charizard. Like, it's not like with Lugia or like Lost Box, you have like all these different attackers. It's just like power up Charizard and attack. It's like not incredible potential for like outplay and stuff. You kind of just play the deck and it is very strong, but I think that's why it's kind of not, you know, reaching its peak in Mii's other tournaments outside of the Curitiba event where it was 5 of the top 8 or whatever.
Yeah, Curitiba.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if we were to say after Arvin Zard came out of Curitiba that there would be 3 NA regionals and Charizard wouldn't make top 8 in any of them, I think that'd be like a little bit too much of a stretch. So I think we will see our first Charizard in top 8 in Toronto. That's my prediction. I'm not sure how much the players up in Canada are favoring it. But I think that it's time. It'll hit the right matchups and just finally end up in a top 8 here.
So inevitably when we play it in top 8, what do you see the other 6 decks being?
All right. I mean top 8 decks, you know, the question is, you know, will a Mew sneak into top 8?
I think so.
I think the room will be hostile to Mew, kind of like it has been. And even if it is, if someone is able to just dodge it, then it could still creep in.
Yeah.
I mean, the other decks will be seeing. I do think we'll continue to see some Chen Pao success, or this Grand Chen, or someone else is going to be able to get the list to crack top eight. I think we'll see that again. And I mean, going to be, I think probably at least 2 to 3 loss box types. I think we'll definitely see a Kyogre turbo loss box, and then maybe some other flavor. I know that, Owen, and seniors won with Gudra, won for Peoria there. And then we've seen a little bit more Gudra kind of popping up, which I think is what brought it in a little as well. So I'm not sure if it'll sneak into top eight here, but I do think we'll maybe see a little bit of an uptick in play, and see a few more decks in day two in Toronto.
A little bit.
Oh, great. Now all the French viewers that stuck around have now left for that tune back in. So they're gone for sure.
Let me ask you a very off the wall question. Peoria was the first tournament in North America where 151 was legal, mm-hmm. right? This is the second tournament in North America where 151 is legal.
Third.
Do you think any rogue deck, whether it be Blastoise, Arbok, Tyranitar, any EX that came out in that set, can make a day two appearance?
So me personally, I actually think Blastoise is awful after playing it. Any Blastoise believers don't hate me, but I just think the deck, I didn't think it needed that much in my head, but you need pieces every turn to even play the game with that deck.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the moment for some of those decks to shine would have been right at that first regional, like Peoria, but now right. We're, at our third North American regional. And I think that we're just really not going to be able to see it. I'm saying, there could be one that sneaks in, right? That Arbok, that other rogue deck, right? We saw in a little Baina EX, in round 10, right? So that was a fun deck to see, like finally get kind of some moment in the spotlight. And I think they ended up having a pretty good finish as well. I mean, I think they maybe just missed top 32. I'd have to double check that. But even, those types of decks, I think just with how strong those top decks in the meta are, those top 7 to 8 decks, I don't think there's too much room for those, knowing that you're going to hit 70% of the room being those top 7 to 8 decks.
Listen, I have a bold prediction. My bold prediction is that Alakazam EX sees day two.
All right, Eric, drop the list if it's you.
That's pretty bold.
That's my bold prediction.
That's in bold, underlined, and italics.
Bro, it's one person who shows up with the list and hits 8 Lost Zone decks day one. And then loses every matchup in day two when he hits Chen Pao every round. Anyways,
wishing ill.
So last question about Toronto before we switch gears. If you're going to Toronto, what deck do you want to make sure you can beat? Like, what's the number one deck you have to be able to beat?
I think, as always, Lost Zone, comfy decks. You need to know your matchup. You need to know choke points. You need to, have good Ionos. That's always just kind of the deck to beat for me.
So we say Lost Zone. You got Gudra, you got Turbo, you got Tina. Are you just lumping all those into one?
A little bit. I mean, they do all play differently. They have different, choke points and stuff where you need to kind of mess up this interaction here. But I would say, like, Turbo is typically the deck. Like, if you can't beat Turbo, you're not going to win the tournament, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, probably a deck to really watch out for still is Lugia, just where it's going to be a strong, solid play, just continues to be. And you need to know how to approach that. And you need to know that, and especially as you're playing your deck, make sure you're not falling into the pitfalls of the deck of, I have my Radiant Greninja on the bench. Oh, I just got Mew EX and I lose, things like that. But I guess at the same time, if you're going to play a deck that's good into Lugia, I mean, you can't play one that gets destroyed by Sableye. I love United Wings as much as the next person, but it'd be like, oh, I have my Watt Trolls for Lugia. It's like, that's not enough. You're still getting Sableye to death.
Or
so
like
maybe
Zoroark, right? It's not the time yet.
When Jirachi comes out, Jirachi's coming. We're gonna try some stuff then.
We'll talk about it. It's coming. For me, I think it's Mew. It's always Mew, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, what about Mew? That's the last question everyone asks. Like, yeah, I'm probably not beating that. But I'll dodge it, But they always got it, right? So put those Spear Tombs in your deck and even throw in a spicy Giacomo. Just saying.
Nah, Mew's going to be fine. Don't throw in any Drapions. Don't throw in any Spear Tombs. It'll be just fine.
Whoa.
This has been brought to you by the Mew Gang.
Anyways, that was fun. Thanks for that discussion. Let's jump into our next segment. We got Youngster versus Gym Leader. Maddox is still up by 4 points this season. If you don't remember that, the Gym Leader should be winning this, but you look at all the games. The games are only successful because the Youngster always beats the Gym Leader, right? So I guess this makes sense. That's true, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. He's not the protagonist.
3 points for no hints, 2 points for one hit. Make sure you message me in the chat for your answer. Are you guys ready for this week's question?
Yes.
Let's send it.
This week's question is obviously around Paradox Rift because we're so excited for this set.
Oh, no. Yes, that's how many. I mean, for Obsidian Flames, yes, that's how many EXs were in the set, and we both like miss it super badly. So if this is that same question, I got like no chance.
There is a new mechanic in this format, and it's called Technical Machines, also known as TMs. Mm-hmm. How many TMs are there?
Well, everyone knows there's 50 in the original game, so there's obviously 50 in Paradox Rift.
Obviously 50.
Yep.
Both of you have locked in an answer. That was really, really quick. I don't ever get to use my hints when I give you guys these easier questions because you both got it right. Congratulations. Oh. Answer is four.
Yeah.
If you said EXs, though, I would have been like 13, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I would have been hearing your hints if I thought about it,
but then I was too lazy to go through the list and like count how many EXs there were.
Hey, for the next set that comes out, I'm going to count how many EXs and just remember that just for the next trivia.
I'm going to forget until we're in this segment of the podcast when the next set comes out.
Anyways, hint number one was the number four is considered unlucky in many Asian cultures, including China, Japan, and Korea.
And Korea, yep.
And also the second hint, if Maddox didn't get there by then, he would have got there from this one. Baseball loves this number. Four bases, four balls, et cetera, et cetera.
Three strike, wait.
All right, bonus question. This is where you guys can separate. Let's see if one of you guys can get a bonus point or not. Still about Paradox Rift. How many dragon Pokemon are in this set?
Oh.
You counted the dragon Pokemon, but you didn't count the EXs? Oh, my gosh. But you already lock it in?
You already locked it in.
What?
Yep. I was looking at the set yesterday.
Okay, I don't have my list on me.
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
The gym leader did his homework.
Okay, I'll talk it out. I mean, I know there's that one Tatsugiri. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
There's probably a Dragon EX, right? Maybe. Know.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe there isn't. Let's see. You know, I'm just gonna say that Eric didn't want it to like make it funny and be the same answer for both, and I'm just gonna say four.
It is not four, Maddox. It is not four. Parker locked in the correct answer real fast with two.
Two? What's the other one?
Maddox?
Altaria EX.
What is the other one? Yep.
Oh, there is an EX. Okay, there is an EX. So I was kind of right in a way.
You were barking up the right tree, yeah.
All right.
Tatsugiri and Altaria EX. There's fun fact for next time you're playing the locals.
Gym Leader Challenge players are hating life because they're not getting any dragon Pokemon. And they really want to improve their dragon type decks.
I mean, that Tatsugiri is pretty good, though.
Yeah, but like as much support comes in this set for like Chiyu for fire,
yeah,
and like Mela for fire. Like, there's so many decks that are just getting a nice beef from this set. But anyways, yeah, thanks for playing along. I hope you guys played along at home. We now have a gym leader finally won a week, and he is only down by three. Congratulations, Parker.
Oh, come on. I'm the protagonist. You just said that. Where's my plot armor? Come on.
All right. Maddox, you want to talk about the next sponsor?
Yeah. I mean, real quick. I mean, again, you know, thanks again to Nakama Anime Cafe for sponsoring the podcast and supporting us in our endeavors. And again, really just want to be able to tell you about NakamaCon, right? It's coming up. We've been talking about it for a few weeks now. But it is upon us. It is almost November, which means it's almost time for NakamaCon. November 4th and 5th in Orange Park, Florida. Your place to buy, sell, trade, and game, vendors, cosplay contests, video game tournaments, meet your favorite creators, and for any trading card game fans, you'll be able to battle the Elite Four. If you beat all four decks, you will win a booster box. Wow, that's super cool. It's right when Paradox Rift comes out. So, hey, it's the best time to be collecting cards and getting those boxes. So make sure you come on out to Nakama Anime Con in Orange Park, Florida. Again, November 4th and 5th. Make sure you buy your tickets like now ahead of time because, you know, price will go up for the day of the event. So just lock in your tickets early, get in, get into, enjoy, and check us out at the Battle for the Elite Four and steal some booster boxes from us.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to the Nakama Con. I haven't really been to a con before, so this will be my first experience. I'm very excited for it. Speaking of very excited, Paradox Rift, man, I'm like laser focused. Max, I'm sure you know this. I've been like locked in on Paradox, and that's probably because I'm going to LAIC and I'm nervous about this set. But we're going to show off some lists. We got all three of us have a list that we'll debut and talk about just some lists that we've been kind of like cooking up and creating. And then we also have some locals joining us today. Hayden Burridge has been on again. I heard from him last set, and David Birkins this time is also coming up. So I have their interviews coming up next to talk about their list. Thanks for Hayden and David for joining us. I'm joined here by Hayden Burridge. Welcome to, back to the Beach Court Podcast. Hayden, ready for some Paradox Rift?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back. I'm super excited for Paradox Rift coming out soon. So many fantastic cards coming out in this set. And yeah. I already got some lists brewing.
How's your pre-release been?
It's been pretty good. One pre-release tournament that I went to, I went 3-0 with Aegislash Satu combo. Had a lot of fun. Yeah. It felt like the most skill intensive pre-release I've ever been to. And really? So that made it like such a good time. More so at least for me than some of the other pre-release tournaments. And my pulls weren't that bad either. I managed to pull a couple of ultra rares, ultra rare trainers, some EX Pokemon. And I can't wait to play those in my standard decks once it gets tournament legal.
Yeah, this set is like a deck builder's dream. Cards like Earth and Vessel, you know, things like that are just really going to shake up the meta a lot. But let's get to it. We got one of your deck lists today that you've clicked up and ready to share with people and something people can test out and work with. And I think this is a fan favorite Pokemon that a lot of people are really interested in trying to build a deck with. But let's talk about it. What deck did you choose and why did you choose it? And it's now showing on the screen for those of you watching on YouTube. You can see it here. If you're on Google, Spotify, or Apple, check out the Beach Court Pod on Twitter at Beach Court Pod. And you can find the list posted there. But kind of talk about your list and why you chose this and some of the cards.
Yeah. So I went with a Garchomp EX deck. Garchomp is by far a favorite Pokemon amongst fans, including me. I'm no exception. I played the video games, and Garchomp is still a monster today. And I think that he's got some decent potential in the TCG with his Terra EX. This thing is able to really assist fighting Pokemon in getting accelerated early on in the game. And I think that's one of its great strengths, especially when we have great fighting support coming out in Paradox Rift. So my list here is partially inspired by Stage 2 decks that we've seen already in Charizard EX and some other Stage 2 EXs that we've seen so far, playing a Pidgeot EX line along with it to help with consistency. And I also decided to add some fighting type attackers, one of which important coming in Paradox Rift being Sandy Shocks EX, so that Garchomp has partners that can do a lot of damage as fighting types, since that perfectly counters the lightning weakness that Garchomp EX has. Garchomp, if we need to be reminded, it is stage 2. It has an attack for 1 fighting energy, 160 damage, and it can accelerate up to 3 basic fighting energy from discard pile to your bench Pokemon in any way that you like. Very, very strong fighting energy acceleration. I don't think we have much better fighting energy acceleration than that, especially with such an efficient attack. So that is what you will want to use to set up your fighting type Pokemon.
Yeah.
So this deck definitely wants to go second to set up. That way you can find your battle VIP passes and nest balls, especially if you have Irida, which will help you find that item card from your deck right away.
So Hayden, let me stop you there. You said battle VIP passes, and you said plural. Oh, there's only one VIP in this list, man.
Yeah. Battle VIP pass can be searched with Irida, and that's why I decided to go with the one VIP pass. There's some similar decks who've used water support in Irida with one battle VIP pass because of the search option. You have Radiant Greninja too to draw a little bit more during your first turn. And even if you don't hit the battle VIP pass, I think it's still important that you do have options. Like, you have Nest Balls, you have Artisan. Play 3/3 Artisan in this deck so that you can still get the needed basic evolving Pokemon into play, like your Gibbles, like your Cleffas for when you're going second and you need to refill your hand for the next turn. So you have lots of options to get your basics out, even if you don't hit that Irida Battle VIP Pass combo. And yeah, if we need more Battle VIP Passes so that we can get better set up, that could be something that we can adjust in this list. Maybe cutting one or two fighting energies just for that extra consistency. But I'm pretty confident that the one Battle VIP Pass could be all that you need here. Yeah, you'll be able, I think if you're able to set up with the Gible and the Cleffas all peppering the field turn one, that you'll be able to figure out how to get into Garchomp really simply. I mean, even then, all you need is one Irida to get to you both the Garchomp and the rare candy, which you still play four of in this deck.
Yeah.
And if you have another energy in your hand, then you are off to the races. Garchomp is having a good old time using that attack. And even better if you have your basic fighting attackers in play.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I can go into more detail about the ones that I decided on. The one that came out in Paradox Rift that I was most interested in is that Sandy Shock EX. Now, the reason for that is that not only is it a basic Pokemon with a good 220 HP and an ancient Pokemon that could benefit from the extra HP boost from the ancient booster energy, but it also has that ability where if your opponent has four fewer remaining prizes, you can accelerate a fighting energy from your discard pile to it once per turn. Now, I think this synergizes really well with Garchomp EX because in the events that you might be against a bad matchup or something that can just take a one-hit KO on Garchomp right away after you've attacked with it and accelerated some energy.
Yeah, like Raikou V, any Almiraidon, all these lightning attackers that are in format, right?
Yeah, all those big lightning attackers. That instantly turns on Sandy Shock EX's ability after your opponent takes those first two prizes. And Sandy Shock EX's ability, unlike Galarian Moltres V's, is actually not a hard once per turn, which means that if you have both your Sandy Shocks in play, you can accelerate a fighting energy to each every single turn.
Yeah.
And that way, you can just be able to chain back-to-back Sandy Shocks EX if you manage to accelerate enough energy to both of them and just keep swinging for 200 every turn while having a big 280 HP basic Pokemon. And against those lightning Pokemon, you're just going to shred right through them.
Yeah.
No Raikos, no Miraidons, no Iron Hands EXs are going to survive that 200 damage attack with weakness. That's going to completely destroy them. And that's why I'm really excited for this combo. Now, for anything that you maybe cannot one-hit KO right away, I added a Terrakion from Silver Tempest into this list. And that is because Cavern Tackle, the attack of Terrakion, for two fighting, one colorless, does 120 damage, but it is immune to damage from your opponent's Pokemon during your next turn. Now, you can't use that attack back-to-back, but even if you just use that for one turn to soften something up, like a Stage 2 EX or something with more HP, like a Roaring Moon with an Ancient Booster Energy Capsule, now that suddenly gives them a difficult way around it, where they need to find some sort of Gusting card to actually get some damage in, or maybe force them to try to figure out how to KO it not using direct damage. I know a Roaring Moon certainly would hate to have to use its instant KO attack taking 200 recoil damage as a result, just to KO this one prize Terrakion, because then that just sets up a Sandy Shocks from coming in, accelerating an energy to itself and cleaning it up,
right,
for a good prize trade. So yeah, I think the Terrakion could be a great option for when you need an extra turn or you need to turn the prize trade in your favor.
Yeah, that seems to try to solve that damage output limitation that this deck has. Looks like, if I'm doing math correct, everything's 200 maximum. Is that the just the free retreat one, or is this the plus HP tool you chose?
This is the plus HP tool for the ancient Pokemon.
Yeah.
Just to give your Sandy Shocks a bit more robustness, especially against things that are hitting more 220, like Roaring Moon's second attack.
Yeah, so right now, the best you can do is 200 then.
Yeah.
And that does require some issues, right? So.
Yeah. That does come up short against some Pokemon. Yeah. But there's always the option of swapping things out for some damage modifiers instead of the HP boost. Those ancient booster energy capsules can be swapped out for stuff like Defiance Bands or Choice Belts if you're up against a lot of Pokemon V that you need to swing for 234.
Yeah.
You could swap them out however you think is appropriate.
And if you find yourself behind in a deck like this, you could always just swap out the bosses for like custom catchers.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like it's kind of crazy some of the things that these new decks are going to be able to do. Another, I'll say weakness, another small thing I don't see, you're not playing Jirachi. You're not favoring it in this list?
I'm not really favoring it, only because you have a lot of high HP Pokemon in this deck. And I think that it's not going to be super simple for Sableye to take out your single prizers, especially if most of them are evolving.
Yeah.
I guess if you're against the Lost Zone matchup, you might want to try to avoid benching your unevolving basics like your Cleffa and your Manaphy.
Right.
If Greninja is not going to be a threat to you, and you're just going to try to evolve your evolving basics like Pidgey, like Gible, as soon as you can. So yeah, and unfortunately with the space that we have at our 60 card deck lists, I wasn't able to fit that in. If Sableye actually becomes more of a threat than I anticipated, might need to swap something out for a Jirachi here.
Even as simple as like changing the Pidgey to be the 60 HP Pidgey, just to not to prevent that like two prize KO in case you don't get it evolved. You know, I could see a list like this while Irida combos well with Garchomp. I could see a list like this just playing Arvinzard, you know, and having more tools that like will, you know, increase your damage output or, you know, increase your HP, whatever it is you need, and, you know, replace all those Iridas with Arvins. You know, this is a list people can explore with. This is just a base initial list. Obviously, we have some ideas of what's going on in Japan, but Japan doesn't have any of the future cards really yet. They're just not getting them like we are. And we've got Toronto up next, which the cards are not legal. But after that, a couple of weeks, we got Brazil, Latin American International Championships, and people have cups to go to. So if people were going to pick up this list, what would you say would be the biggest weakness and what would you say is the biggest strength?
I'd say that the biggest weakness to this deck in particular is the relatively lower damage output compared to a lot of other decks. Doesn't have that limitless damage output like something like Chien Pao EX or the really high damage output that Charizard EX has. But I think that something that this deck has in particular over some of the other stage 2 EX decks is that it has the potential for more consistency. Built-in energy acceleration is fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
The fact that you can combo Irida so easily with this stage 2 EX is brilliant. I don't think that we've seen a stage 2 EX that has potential like this that can use Irida so perfectly.
Right.
And the fact that we have something like level ball that you can feather ball that you can throw in there as a one of to search either Garchomp or Pidgeot in whatever scenario you need it for, since they both have free retreat. I think that that makes your Pokemon search very flexible for when you need to get set up. So I'm very excited to see what sort of potential Garchomp EX can meet, because I think that something like this just screams potential, especially in a format where we have such strong fighting options more and more over time.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the second attack, and it's kind of a snipe attack. I think, is it 120 that just out of nowhere?
Yes, it can hit 120 wherever it needs to for two colorless energy. So just in case your opponent is relying on something like a B-Barrel and they don't have a Manaphy in play, you can just yoink, knock it out, and have them forced to be top decked, which could be useful. I know Terra EXs are very popular, so they will be immune to that damage, but I could see a scenario where that attack could come in clutch and save you a game or two.
I could see that too. I mean, I like the list. It seems pretty consistent. Keep exploring with that. Let us know, you know, in the comments below how you guys think about this deck and, you know, what you're experiencing with Garchomp. We'd love to hear your feedback. Hayden, thanks for coming on today and talking about this list and sharing it with us. Where can people find you? What's going on next? Just a little shout out to you.
Very happy to be sharing this with you, Eric. I can be found at Great Escape Rope. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Twitch now. I'm planning on doing a little bit of streaming.
Awesome.
Some Pokemon content. Probably some non-Pokemon content if people are interested in some variety content. Those are the two places where you're most likely to find me. So give me a shout, leave a comment, follow, all that good stuff, because I have some big stuff planned coming
up. That's awesome. Is Twitch your escape rope, at escape rope?
Great Escape Rope.
Great Escape Rope on Twitch. Awesome. Yeah, give him a follow. Thanks, Hayden, again for joining. I'm looking forward to testing with you in Paradox and getting some work in with the set. You know, we got some awesome changes. But once again, Hayden, thank you for joining. And next up, we have David Birkins with his cooked up list. Thanks again, Hayden, for joining.
Very welcome. Thank you, Eric.
Okay, I'm joined here by David Birkins. David, thanks for joining with us. For those of you that don't know, David's one of our locals, also brings a lot of saucy decks with us. David, how you been? Tell people a little bit about yourself.
Been good. So I've been around the community since 2016. I was super active during the Sun and Moon block. That was probably one of my favorite blocks of Pokemon. Played a lot. I went to a bunch of regionals. Personal favorite deck during that block was the Greens Blacephalon, where you played it with Greens Exploration and Welder.
That deck was that was cancer.
That deck, it brought me not only a lot of tops and a lot of wins, that deck, it's one of those decks that just like sparked a fire in my heart and like really like made me want to like truly invest in the game. Because when I started playing, I kind of just played whatever rogue sparked my interest, just because I play Pokemon for fun. I don't really play it to win. I mean, I play competitively as possible, but there are times when, you know, I just want to play something special or play something a little bit off the wall, you know, just to kind of keep people on their toes. But sometimes a deck just, it speaks to you. And Blacephalon during the Sun and Moon block was one of those decks. Nowadays, I don't really play much as I'd like to, just with the way life goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now that we're entering this Paradox Rift block, and with all the new cards coming out and all the new potential for both meta and jank, we'll just call it jank.
Jank.
My brain's been working overtime with some of these cards, and I'm very, very excited to talk about it and share what we're cooking.
Yeah, you touched on it a bit. Paradox is going to be a very impactful set. There's some really good EXs coming out in this set that have some potential if they can figure out how to set up. And there's also some really good trainers. And obviously we've got the Jirachi coming out that everyone's super excited for, to throw one of in their deck and stop Lost Walks. Because everyone's kind of annoyed with Lost Box at this point. So this is the first direct counter we have to Lost Box, and we'll see, you know, how it does. But how's your pre-release been? Have you done any pre-releases? Any good pulls? How'd you do in the tournament?
Yeah, so funny enough, we just did the pre-release a couple days ago over at Nakama. Shout out
Nakama, Anime Cafe, sponsor of the podcast.
And funny enough, I actually pulled our topic for conversation. I actually did pull a Serena EX. So very excited because already I've got the one part of the puzzle. Other than that, didn't pull too much else. Though it was interesting just kind of seeing how many unique cards are already in the set that like come just with like the base pre-release kit.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, it was a great time.
It's gonna be a massive set. Some people are trying to master set this. Holy moly, you know.
Oh yeah, it's a big set. It's like 260.
Yeah, 150 plus cards and 84 secret rares or whatever. Oh my goodness. Wild. Yeah,
it's insane.
But anyways, you touched on it. Let's jump into it. Your deck choice is what for this format and why'd you choose it?
So for today, we're gonna be talking about Serena EX. It was one of the last EXs to get revealed from what we got from Japan that we're going to get in Paradox Rift. And this card is just insane. Like
it really is.
Like, so for anybody who's not familiar with the card, it's water Terra type. So it's a water Pokemon stage 2, but it takes grass energy because it's treating it as an ice Terra type, which is why it's weak to metal.
Thankfully, that's such a good weakness for it to have.
Oh yeah,
right? Like, compared to Garchomp, being lightning weakness, right? Lightning right now is a terrible weakness to have. That weakness is like, really good.
Yeah, which is like that's what stops Garchomp from like probably seeing as much play as it needs to.
Yeah.
But Serena, like your only threat is Goldengo, and Goldengo is going to be trying to one shot you anyway, so the weakness doesn't matter too much. But the first attack is just insane. So for one grass energy, put damage counters on one of your opponent's Pokemon, so it doesn't even have to be the active, until its remaining HP is 30. So immediately my brain goes to how do we get that extra 30 to just kick in immediately before you have chances to retreat or Cheryl if you're playing Arc or Sharon's Care or even Professor Turo card that allows you to just pick up a Pokemon. Yeah, so how do we get this 30 damage to just hit them on the way out? And that's why we're playing for my version of the list the Paldean Clodsire along with the Radiant Hisuian Sneasler. So the Clodsire, once during your turn if a stadium's in play, make your opponent's active Pokemon poison, so that gets you 10. Radiant Sneasler comes in during checkup. You put two more damage counters. That gets you the extra 20 for 30 total. Nice, simple combination. Getting it rolling is honestly the puzzle of the deck because you need to play a stadium. You need to make sure the stadium stays active when you activate the Clodsire ability. And then it's just about getting the pieces moving in a way where you're able to consistently churn out these knockouts. I did a couple test hands on Limitless, and when the deck works, it is basically unstoppable for any stage 2 deck because 310 is still a lot of hit points to hit, especially in the mid game. And if you're not prepared to hit those consistently, this girl is just going to run you over.
Yeah, and if you're comboing that, I see you have two Cheryl on the list. If you're comboing that with Cheryl in mid game, like, you don't care if you discard the energy, just detach one. Like, okay, sure. Like, the Cheryl seems pretty good.
Yeah, like, the healing and efficiency you get from Cheryl is insane. It also means that, like, your Clodsires aren't as vulnerable as you would think when you play combo decks like this, because even Clodsire, it's 280 HP, so it's not, like, a dinky little support Pokemon. Like, he's got some beef to him.
Yeah, and grass weakness probably, right?
It's fighting weakness, again, fighting isn't even going to be that prevalent because you think, oh, it's weak to Garchomp.
Yeah.
Garchomp's water, so.
Yeah, but they're playing some fighting attackers.
Right. So that's like the only threat to the Claude Sire. That and all these Pokemon have heavy retreat costs because Serena's two, but she's your main attacker. Claude Sire's got three retreat, so you do need to play switching out. So that's why I'm playing the two switch and the one rope.
Yep.
Just because they can get into situations where they try to boss stall the Claude Sire. So you got to be prepared for that.
One interesting question, right? Everyone, when you build a deck right now in Standard, the first card you put in the deck is four battle VIP pass.
Right.
This list has none. Talk about that.
So me personally, I can't stand VIP pass. not that it's a bad card. It's mostly just VIPs love to get clogged in my hand. Because I'll usually hit the turn one. That's usually not a problem. But I personally hate having cards in my hand that don't do anything.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why I like playing the four nest ball, because at the very least, like, there's always going to be situations where it's like, oh, I can always nest ball for Manaphy when I identify I need it in a matchup. I can always get Jirachi if I need it. I can get the Badoo for like another bounce suite or a Wooper to you know, set up a secondary attacker. VIP, and it's also kind of a part of my brain where I know VIP is not long for this world, because even though rotation is right around the corner in April, April becomes, 6 months away, which becomes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and it's gone. So
they're going to reprint it, right?
I don't think they're going to reprint it. I think they're going to reprint something even better.
Ooh.
So, because Pokemon likes to keep consistent things in the format for a long time, but with the potential of all these new ace specs that are coming out, and with the potential of new items coming from the Pokemon DLC, not to mention new Pokemon games going to be coming out next year, so you never know what Pokemon's cooking with that. So I don't think we'll see the last of like a VIP pass style of item. And I think we can push it even further.
That's cool. I'd love to hear that. Yeah. An A spec, like just put four basics on your bench. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Just as a one of, like, that'd be insane.
It'd be so insane. So let's talk about the weaknesses of this deck and the strengths of the deck. If someone's going to pick up this deck and they just say, I want to play this deck, this concept seems cool, what are some of the weaknesses of the deck and what are some of the strengths?
So weaknesses, this deck is definitely on the clunkier side. I'm playing the 1-1 Babero line just to kind of get some sort of a draw engine going. But the pieces for the deck aren't inherently searchable. We are playing an energy search to get the grass energy when we need it, but
shouldn't that just be an earthen vessel?
So I thought about vessel. I think Vessel has its place. I think my thinking is just because you don't really need multiple energy in the deck. Yeah. You just need the one. And then it's basically just kind of playing like a protect the castle style, where it's just like, hey, I just need to keep this one Serena alive and I basically win the game.
True.
I think Vessel can see play. Vessel also can potentially help you thin cards for the barrel.
Right.
So it is an option, but that's kind of the along the lines of like the weaknesses for the deck is just like you see the potential and like the combo of the deck, but it's just getting everything in its place when you need it to execute is, I think, the struggle.
Yeah.
So you're trying to like max out as much consistency as possible. That's why like I'm playing my personal favorite. I'm playing four tracking shoes. Just because it's a way to dig through the deck, because you never know what piece you're missing, whether it's you're missing the candy or the EX or the energy. So just playing more ways to dig through the deck. I guess the other weakness to the deck is if you are playing against something that, I mean, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but something that just says, hey, I'm unaffected by effects of attacks, like, the Serena just does nothing because it's second attack. Second attack's not bad. It's two energy 180, which is, I mean, that's the base damage on a Charizard.
Yeah.
And it heals 30. So it's not the worst. It's just like, if there do become answers to where your opponent just kind of says no to your primary attack, then you do kind of flounder trying to come up with like a secondary condition to win. And then the other thing is just, of course, one prize deck. So like Lost Box, Wings of Unity. Like, I think Wings, unironically, is probably like this deck's hardest matchup, just because the Pokemon are so tiny that like this attack just really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I think you probably just go for the 180 as much as possible, right?
Yeah. But outside of that, like, especially the big VMAXs, you're still going to see play. Like, new VMAX, this deck does well against. Rapid Strike, you do well against, because those are all three prizers, and you get supreme value out of attack like this.
Yeah.
So big decks like that, I think you'll do well against. And this deck is also kind of built in a way where if you do find like a better draw engine or like a more consistent way to get the Serena out or the Claude Sire out, there's definitely pieces that you can like take in and out to like suit your personal play style. This is kind of just my first go at it without actually like fully play testing against the field, because the field has what, like 14, 15 different
decks. Yeah, we don't even know what the field is exactly. Yeah. You've got seven decks, you know, 7 to 9 decks that are good now, plus another 5 to 8 coming out. It's like, holy moly. The meta is going to be very interesting. But, you know, David, thanks for sharing this list. People are excited to play it. Comment below about how you feel about the list, anything you would change about the list, things like that. But, David, where can people find you? You have a Twitter that you do all your Pokemon stuff or anything like that?
I technically have a Twitter. It's just at Birkins David. I'm not really active on social media like that.
Got it.
But more importantly, make sure you support the podcast. Give them a like, give them comment, give them subscribe, follow them on all the socials, Face Twit, Tablegram, you know them, you love them. These guys
have been hard
grinding it out, and I'm just glad to help them out any way I can. So yeah. Always happy to be on.
Yeah, we appreciate that, David. Your sauciness every week. I had to play against you last week, and I'm sweating bullets. I'm like, there's some combo you're about to pull out I don't know about. You know, you always bring the A game. You make us all better. And David, thanks for joining the podcast. Until next time, thanks, David.
Absolutely. Yep. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks to Hayden and David for joining us. Those were some awesome interviews. Really enjoyed those lists. I think David's list has a lot of potential with, you know, hitting for X number of damage down to 30 damage counters and then just knocking them out. It's pretty good.
It's awesome.
Except for against, you know, some smaller decks. And obviously the Garchomp is strong too. One energy attacker. I used it in my pre-release kit today to go 3-0. So Garchomp's definitely pretty good. Next up, we got Maddox to talk about his list. Of course he has Mew in his list when it just won the regional. What else would he have? You want to talk about your list, bud?
Yeah, so I had to come to you with some spice. So, I mean, so this list is based off of a friend of ours in Japan, actually, who we met when we were over there, Sakura. You know, so she actually won a local when they had the Skeldridge EX as a playable card, because it came out before their Paradox Rift set. So the Skeldridge EX, and it's Mew VMAX plus Skeldridge EX was the original list. So I've kind of adapted that to say, okay, what if it was Skeldridge EX plus Mew plus Fusion Mew? So this is kind of a, you know, again, I don't know if it's good, but my thoughts on Mew is that Mew is just a good enough core and a strong enough deck that you can throw anywhere from like 5 to 10 dead cards in a Mew deck and it's still good. So we're definitely pushing the limits of that here.
Definitely limit testing.
Yeah. So, I mean, the main piece here, again, Skeldridge EX, for anyone who doesn't know, the main spot is your ability to discard a fire energy from your hand and deal 60 extra damage, right? So in a world of power tablets, we're able to add more damage to our attacks. Now we're saying, okay, we're just adding a double power tablet for one fire energy. So something like that just gives us a lot of potential to really max out Mew's damage as well as Meloetta's damage, theoretically here. You know, Fusion Strike package is included really to help deal with Spiritombs and things like that. If not, the deck just kind of straight up loses to that. So some other new inclusions are the Earthen Vessel. I kind of want to put more of these in here, mainly just because you're discarding a card, right? It's kind of like our Quick Ball back in the day. You know, any way to discard cards is good. We just don't have too much utility for that energy. And also the basic fire energies do synergize with that fusion strike energy a little bit. If you're able to get an Elisa Sparkle off and attach your one of your energies, right? If you attach one energy to a Mew VMAX and one to a Meloetta, for example, you can attach that fire energy to the Mew VMAX and still fulfill the attack cost for cross fusion strike with that. So that option to be able to partner them together, as well as just the, you know, insane damage potential of mixing Skeldridge EX plus Melodious Echo plus Power Tablet. I did the math real quick, and you should be able to hit 460 turn two, theoretically, with all four of your power tablets plus one legendary song. So I guess if you had two, you could make it 520. But if you get that board state, then you're just an average Mew player, because they always got it. So, so I'll definitely try this list. Not sure how well it's going to go. It's kind of clunky. I guess the other inclusion is the Peony to just say, hey, I can just discard my whole hand and grab Rare Candy Ultra Ball and then refill my hand and then Ultra Ball for the Skeldridge. Right. So the fact that Peony is saying, oh, hey, here's this downside of discarding your whole hand, but I play Fusion Strike Engine, so I can just Fusion Strike System and draw up. So I guess only up to five in this case if you have one Fuecoco down. And the other inclusion here is Crystal Cave. You know, we've seen it before to help against the Lost Box decks. Here, now that you're playing Skeldridge EX as a metal type or steel type, then you're able to use Crystal Cave to heal that as well as your Genesex. So
turn one, you're gonna go like Ultra Ball away, double tablet. I don't care because I got Skeldridge.
Yes, I mean, something like that, maybe. I don't know. But I mean, something I'm definitely going to try. It needs some tweaking, but anyone who is looking to say, hey, I love Mew, let me try something Mew and throw some other cards in, I'll definitely give Mew plus Skeldridge GX a try.
Thanks for joining. I'm sorry, thanks for, you know, talking about that list. Parker, got any other thoughts about the list?
I like how he gave a reasoning for all the cards in it. I do actually just like Earthen Vessel. I mean, like, I don't think I'd play it in Mew simply to just discard a card per se, but, you know, maybe that's a thing in the future. Maybe you play, you know, one Psychic, so like, yeah, now you can Melodious Echo with, you know, one less Fusion Strike energy in play, preserve energies a little bit more, you know. You never know.
Yeah, looks like a fun list. Skeldridge is pretty good. I really like that card. Speaking of Skeldridge, looks like you have a list with Skeldridge in it as well. You guys had some, like, everyone's on Skeldridge. Skeldridge Greedent, Skeldridge Chiyu, Skeldridge Mew, Skeldridge Iron Hands.
You know, I missed the meeting on the Skeldridge, so I actually included with my own version of Skeldirge. The Chiyu EX is supposed to be the Chiyu from this set with the revenge attack. I literally could not get it into the decklist picture, no matter how hard I tried. And I also don't know why the Fuecoco and Skeldirge are not with the other Pokemon, but such is
they're
life.
Just chilling by themselves, yeah.
They're just chilling by themselves. He's under a lily pad, it looks like, and then Skeldirge is wearing a hat. So that's the situation there. Basically, what I want to do is make some kind of firebox. I got Entei, just a big attacker. Entei, full benches, plus Skeldirge is 280. We got the Moltres, just a good, quick one-prize attacker. You just Magma Base into it. Incendiary Song. And you're hitting for 150 for one energy on a one prizer. Also not bad. And then I got Radiant Zard and Volcarona V for like late game nukes. So you just kind of, if you can get two Incendiary Songs off and get a bunch of energy in your discard, you can hit for, you know, a massive amount of damage for one energy with Volcarona.
So yeah, it seems kind of crazy. Like the Entei, it's like kind of like ghetto Palkia, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
But like, you know, how do you make Palkia do more damage was always the question, right? And so
Palkia same thing from with the hood.
Entei. It's Palkia at home.
It's Palkia at home. So Palkia same with like home. Entei.
Yeah. My favorite part is that you said Skeldirge properly and you didn't call me out for saying it wrong the 12 times I said it in my list.
No.
I see you included the Arvin in the build, but you only have your only tools are four Sealstone.
That is true. It was just a thought because like it's so good in like the Charizard deck. Like you just fish for the missing piece, whether it be the ball or the candy.
Yeah.
Ideally, you want to get out two Skeledirge, I would imagine, but if you only get out one, that should be fine. I do need to tweak with it a little bit because I forgot to put switching cards in here, and everything has like Fat Retreat.
Yeah.
Except for like Moltres. So that's definitely a card that I think myself and other people should include in the deck.
Yeah, the real question is, how are you dealing with Devolution Tool?
Devolution Tool? Well,
that card doesn't exist. It's fine.
I think that card does exist, sadly, but most of the attackers are basic in the deck, like other than Skeledirge himself.
Yeah, just the
basic
damage bump, right?
Mm-hmm. I think if you're using your attack on that and you just get slammed in the face with Entei the next turn, it's like not worth it.
Right.
Yeah, especially since you can't hit like a bench Skeledirge because of its Terra.
Yeah, the Terra. Yep.
So like you can't even like go Greninja and then devolution it to KO the Fuecoco. You know, you gotta put the damage on it some other way, and then use another attack to just take one prize. So
true. Yeah. Any other thoughts, Monix, about the list?
No, I mean, I think it's straightforward. I was like, man, it's really straightforward. And it's like, oh yeah, there is no switching cards. So, but I mean, like that great core. I mean, I think there's a lot of good stuff for fire, and just having a great single prize attacker like with a revenge. I think that's gonna be really cool to see. And again, just exciting to see what people do with it. Now there's a little more fire support.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric, I understand that you've been cooking up an in-person list of some heat, and some, as they say in the business, some Zoom.
Some turn
one donking, even.
Man, this deck is crazy. Literally, you can donk Maridon can donk people, and so can like Lost Walks from attacking. In this deck, you can literally just donk people by doing nothing and just switching. So I just built the deck with a bunch of switch cards and a bunch of switch cards and Iron Valiant and some Jet Energies. And we got a random Medichamp in here, because right now Medichamp V is really good. You know, take an extra turn and Pokemon is kind of broken. only doing it for two energy. So maybe a double turbo or, you know, a rapid strike energy or something in here would be kind of cool. Been experimenting with it. Definitely really strong in the Lost Walks. And the Chen Pao, also really strong. You know, again, it's not just the active Pokemon that Iron Valiant hits. It hits any Pokemon on the field, and there's nothing that stops it. Like, that's not true. Fusion Energy stops it. Yeah, exactly. I played it against Mew, and it is an auto loss versus Mew. So if this becomes meta relevant, Mew becomes the new best deck in format. Oh, wait, it already is. It's very interesting. Some of the issues I had was finding energy. I thought four Fog Crystal and eight energy would be enough to, you know, research, draw an energy, and then Zatu, draw two. But the amount of times in testing that I would research and not hit an energy or a way to get an energy was, you know, not fun and didn't enjoy it a lot. Maybe you throw in some Earthen Vessels to kind of help with that somewhere. But, you know, there was a lot of times you didn't want to discard cards from your hand because you wanted to be using the switch cards that you had in hand to do the damage. Because even like versus Charizard, there was a time where, you know, most of them are 70 HP now that they're grabbing. So you got to hit four to KO it. So yeah, you do it once, that's cool. Then next turn, if you don't have the boss KO with an attack, you got to do it again four times. I see that it gets kind of difficult, and you can run out of energy fast if you're not careful with your energy. But the deck has a lot of potential. The stupid capsule is broken. Like, the synergy between Town Store and grabbing the capsule and having free retreat, like putting it on the active, retreating to another one, jet energy to this one. Like, this reminds me of Orbital VMAX a little bit, but a little bit differently. You know, some of those higher numbers are difficult to hit. You know, for example, Mew VMAX, like 310, you got to ping it five, six times before you can do anything. Ideally, you ping it four times, hit it once, and yoga loop it the next time, you know, in an ideal, perfect world. But it is very difficult to get some of those combos off with these larger Pokemon. But yeah, the deck's got a lot of potential. Fog Crystal finds Iron Valiant, finds Natu. You know, the Ultra Ball finds Natu. You got a Squawk in here for that, you know, that emergency oh shit handle. This hand sucks. Like, get me a new one, turn one. So yeah. That was kind of my thoughts on the list. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think the Natsu is like the Zatu draw engine is really cool to see, and not saying, hey, the Iron Valiant, we're attacking with it too, and we have a way to get it powered up quickly.
Turn two.
Turn two. Yeah, I mean, I even think what you said about the double turbo, I like a lot, you know, just with the possibility of being able to go turn one going second yoga loop and then just go again. Right? I mean, just that potential. It says, even if they're playing the 70 HP, it says, okay, I've hit them, you know, three times, but I'm going to switch in a yoga loop. And then I'm going to go again and just continue to churn through, play another research. You get, now you're getting your Zatus in play, like that, you'd be able to pull that off again. It's getting all the pieces and what it's getting all the pieces together. But yeah, I think I'm excited to see this list in action and see you play some more games with it.
Definitely potential there.
Yeah. The path turns off the ability, which is why I have a higher stadium count here. And the town store really synergizes well with the four seal stone and the Medichamp to get that piece that you need when you need it. I use that combo a good bit. And obviously you need a heavy ball because you've got you have three things by themselves, and you got four basics, you know, seven basics, and you want to find them. I definitely want another rod. I definitely wanted like a way to get energies. I definitely wanted a double turbo, like you said. You know, I've seen some donk decks out there that are like including Iron Hands and a bunch more switch cards and some electricity generators. and then I looked at the list and there wasn't a single psychic energy, and I'm like, well, we ain't never attacking for anything good. At least this, like the future energy, the 220 is perfect. Like you just 220, like KO everything, right? So now you're gonna have trouble into like Iron Hands, right? Because it's 230. But again, you switch it to the active, you put two damage counters on it, you do 220. You know, it works, right? It fixes all those things. So,
yeah, I think we're quickly moving to 230 being the new number.
We are, yeah.
Iron Hands, I mean, Dragonite, still been a thing for that. Just, you know. Yeah, it's now the question is, can you knock out an Iron Hands with something that doesn't get one shot by for 120?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'm excited to try out these lists. And, you know, obviously I'll keep testing some Paradox Rift. And we'll have all these up on the Twitter page next week. As we count down towards TCG Live going live with Paradox Rift next week, I know you guys want to try out some lists. We'll also, obviously, they're here in the video. If you're listening on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, check out our Twitter next week, or just come here to YouTube and subscribe to the channel. Like, comment, subscribe, tell us what you think about this list. All of our lists, we'd love your feedback on any of them. I'm sure they're all trash, but we'll make them better. These are just version ones, and I'm not sure of any product that comes out in this world. Version one is the best product ever, so we'll make it better and we'll continue getting better.
Yeah, well, that's the point of it. Is just we're all excited to see the new sets come out and to really start working on these new cards, and just let's just throw together whatever 60 we can and have some fun and try some stuff. I know we'll be hitting some online tourneys and playing a lot locally, just gearing up for LAIC.
Yeah, yeah. If you're playing a small HP deck, make sure you bench multiple Pokemon turn one. Yeah, probably losing if you don't.
Well, you got to bench him now just because of Grabber.
Grabber's not that big, but it is there. You know, Mew's dead, right? You just play Spirit.
Yeah, there's no Mew around. Don't worry about Mew. It's never actually there.
Yeah, Mew's not a good deck, guys.
For those of you on the podcast listening and not watching, Parker just put a clown nose on his forehead, on his nose, and yeah. So,
and there's Mew plushes. There's always Mew plushes.
And there's definitely Mew plushes always. So really good. Excited for Toronto next week. Parker, it's gonna be sad not seeing you there. I know you can't make it out to this one.
Yeah.
But we'll hope to see you in San Antonio.
Yep, hopefully I make the registration wave two for it. No, there's already 1,900 masters.
Wild,
that's fine,
right?
There'll be 20, there'll be 230 people in day two in San Antonio. It'll be fine.
Yeah, brutal. Basically have to day two to make top 256 probably.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's wild.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting. I know it's gonna be a big turnout. I know a lot of folks, you know, from our area as well as Orlando, yeah, and other connections we have will be there, so it'll be a nice, you know, in the winter in December, get on down to Texas and have a good time and play some Pokemon.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all for us today, folks. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. Like I said, like, comment, and subscribe if you haven't already. What are you doing? We really appreciate all your support, and we'll see everyone in Toronto. Best of luck to everyone there.